This morning I'm going to preach on a topic called forgiveness. Forgiveness. Many people want the move of the Spirit, but they have not forgiven people. Amen? I'm studying the Gospel of Mark, and it's interesting when you start with the Gospel of Mark, you start with John the Baptist out in the wilderness saying to people that they needed to repent, confess their sins, and repent. And you think, well, there was over 1 million Jews that went out into the wilderness to be baptized. But, you know, Jewish people were already keeping the feast. They were already going to the temple and worshiping the Lord. What did they have to go out and repent of? And I think one of the big things that Christians and Jewish people need to do at this season is they need to repent of unforgiveness. And so I'm going to be talking on that subject today. Also, when I get done, I will be giving an altar call for salvation because I believe there are some people that need to walk in unforgiveness. And so I'm going to start off with the definition of unforgiveness or forgiveness. It is Webster defines forgiveness as to give up resentment against someone, to give up a desire to punish someone, to pardon someone. It also means to cancel a debt. If somebody owes you a debt and has not paid it, sometimes we can get bitter, hallelujah, and we can also have resentment before that. We just need to give it up and then trust the Lord that He'll pay it back to us. The second thing is to give up all claims to punish someone or exact a penalty for an offense. Sometimes we get offended and we want to carry it around for years. And so because of that, the person we bind is ourselves. We bind ourselves because we have picked up an offense and we have not let it go. And the Lord talks to us about walking in forgiveness. In fact, He tells us, I'm going to read you the scriptures, that God cannot forgive you if you don't forgive other people. Jesus' words in Matthew 6:14-15 says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses." What does trespass mean? It means, by Webster defines it as, to go beyond the limits of what is right or moral. In other words, what you may have as a standard that you think is right, if somebody says words or does an action towards you that offends you, you keep it. You know, the Bible says that you are not to keep things even overnight, especially with your mate, because you are one in the spirit with them. So the Lord says that it is prohibited to go to bed and sleep on it. Usually you can't sleep because you're busy thinking about that. And it says before the night is over, you're supposed to forgive and let that go. It says don't let the darkness go down on your anger. And so you are to forgive them or your fellow man. That's pretty easy this day and time when you work with people. It's easy to pick up offense. It's easy to pick up offense if you have relatives. If you have friends that say the wrong thing to you, then you harbor an offense. But the Lord says you're not entitled to an offense. Because if you harbor an offense when you offend the Lord Jesus, how many of you think that our sin sometimes has offended Jesus? Sometimes how many of our words have offended Jesus? How many times our actions have offended Jesus? And He's basically saying, you cannot hold it, because if you hold it, then I have a right to hold it against you. You know, I'm so thankful that the Lord is merciful and He forgives us our offenses and He forgives us of our actions. Amen. The scripture also goes on to say in Mark 11, verse 25 through 26, "And when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses or your offenses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses." He's saying you have to walk. In fact, it's interesting, when the Lord taught the disciples to pray, Right in the middle of the Lord's Prayer, he talks about offenses. He talks about if you've trespassed against your neighbor or your neighbor has trespassed against you, forgive them. In other words, he's saying every day of your life, it's an opportunity for offenses to come. It's an opportunity of somebody to say something that you don't want to forgive them, but you hurt yourself. And it also says he's done listening to your prayers. Think about that one. I don't know why in the world I'm not getting my prayers answered. Maybe because you have ought against somebody. You have ought against somebody because the words they said or actions they said, or I'm going a little different. What about when they offend you in money? Money represents our work, represents our livelihood. And when somebody borrows money from you and doesn't pay you back, somebody has a contract with you and they lie about it, somebody comes against you and wants to take you to court over it or something like that, it's real easy to get in offense and hold it. But the Lord says that the only one you hurt is yourself. Get ready to let go of your offenses. Get ready to let go of whatever you're angry about, whatever you've been taking to bed at night and you can't sleep and you're tossing and turning because something is turning over in your mind. When it's turning over in your mind, the Lord is simply saying, get rid of it, get rid of it. You're holding it. You're holding it. Am I talking to a deaf audience today? Hallelujah. I know some of you, hallelujah, sometimes can't go to bed because you got ought with somebody and you're just rolling it over in your mind and you're having a conversation with them, but they aren't there. You're having a conversation of how you're going to tell them off. You're having a conversation of how you're going to tell them that they need to give you your money. You're telling them a conversation of how that they've done something wrong. But the Lord says, let it go. Let it go. And the reason you let it go is so that the Lord will forgive you. He said, you know, you trespass against me all the time. Watch your language. Watch how you act towards your brother and sister in the Lord. And the Lord forgives you. And he just simply says, whatever you're building up, let it go. Because that's the way we have peace with God. You have peace with God when you forgive people. Now, what do you forgive them of? You forgive them of their trespasses and money. You also will forgive them because you picked up some offense. And it may be that they even morally did something wrong to you. I'm talking about if they violated you. I've seen people that, especially among women, that have been violated in their younger years. And somebody has done something to them, or even maybe now they're doing something. And they're still holding it. I remember one person said, I've been carrying this 50 years. I thought, what in the world have you been carrying this for 50 years? That person's already died, hallelujah. And guess what? You're still carrying it and miserable. And so you need to understand it was the devil that used them to offend you and to hurt you, but you need to let it go. So simply say, Lord, you've got to take this out of my memory. You've got to take this out of my memory bank. You've got to take this out of my spirit. You've got to heal me so that I can be healed. And another thing is a lot of times people don't get healed because they're carrying offenses. They're carrying offense against somebody, and so they're not getting the healing and the breakthrough. They're not getting the financial breakthrough that they need because they're carrying offenses. Amen? Let's keep going here. So let's take a scripture about loving your enemy. Luke 6, verse 35 and 36. It says, but love ye your enemies and do good tender, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and you shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Think about this. The Lord is kind to evil people. The Lord is kind to unthankful people. Give yourself a break and forgive people who aren't thankful. You may have, and this is a very interesting thing to learn sometimes in life. Your idea of character and your idea of the way to behave to somebody is not their behavior. Example, you may have taught your children that when you get to a door and women are there, open the door for them, you know, and all those kind of things, say thank you, How about people who don't say thank you? How about people who slam the door in your face? All those kind of things. The Lord says they weren't taught right. They were not taught right. There are all kinds of people that are not taught to be pleasant and kind in their words. And because of that, it may cause a great offense in you. And you have to forgive them and you have to let it go. Because your desire, you have to meet this standard. You know, we have a standard. You got to do this and you got to do this and you got to do this. And they don't do that standard. Well, what's the matter with them? They're just so uncouth. They just don't do it the right way. Well, they may not have been taught the way you have been taught. So therefore, be gracious to people and thankful to people whether they thank you or not. Be merciful to people whether they are merciful to you or not. That's what the scripture is telling us. That Jesus is thankful to people who aren't even thankful back to him. Amen? I'm going to give you some examples of that in a minute. Be therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. Be merciful to people because God's merciful. Doesn't matter if they're merciful for you or not. Have you ever forgiven somebody of a debt? They got excited because they didn't have to pay you, but they didn't bother to thank you. You're looking at them like, hey, let it go. Let it go. Because God will do a good work in you. And it seems especially we get offended with money. We get offended also with relatives. We get offended at things like Easter and Thanksgiving and Christmas. I used to have a neighbor, this is funny, I used to have a neighbor that she would always have a yearly time where all the neighbors would come together. And everybody would say, I'm going to make a pot roast or I'm going to make a cake. She'd say, I'm going to bring the pickles. And everybody would look at her like, pickles? And you know what? At first we all had an attitude and then we would say to her ahead of time, and I know you can bring the pickles. Oh yeah, I can bring the pickles. It's just like, we got over it and we knew she was bringing the pickles only. And sometimes we get very small about things. And we let things upset us. And we need to begin to be merciful towards people. And we need to begin to be thankful that God has forgiven us. When you realize how much the Lord has forgiven you, how much he's forgiven your children, how much he's forgiven your lack of being the steward that you were supposed to be. Whatever you have done, be thankful for what the Lord has done. And then don't say, I took out my measuring rod and you don't meet up. So therefore, I'm going to judge you. No, the only person you need to judge is you. And learn to forgive so the Lord can forgive you. That's a good word. Now I want to read some other scriptures here. Ephesians 4:32. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. In other words, he's forgiven you, so be like God, forgive other people. The next thing is 1 John 1:9. For if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Some of you today need to say to the Lord, I'm going to forgive somebody their trespasses. I'm not going to get caught in the trap. When somebody doesn't pay you back, when somebody cheats you on a deal, then you know what? Bless God, I have learned. Not everybody you deal with has your morals. Not everybody you deal with has your standards. Make up your mind, I'm going to have a high standard and you're not going to pull me down to the pit where I am angry for years and years. I'm going to go to the altar of God, forgive, hallelujah, walk in mercy, hallelujah, and just not go back there again. I'm not going back to that road. I can say hi, hello, hallelujah, and I'm free of you, hallelujah, and walking in the peace of God. Somebody say amen. Amen. Let me give you some examples of forgiveness in the New Testament. The prodigal son. I was thinking about the prodigal son. Now, when you think about it, the prodigal son, let's say he was a teenager, a young man in his 20s, and he walks up to his dad and he says, I'll have half of everything you got. It's my heritage. That meant that the father had to sell sheep. He had to sell goats. He had to sell half of his crops. He had to get every bit of money he had, all of his silver, all his gold, turn it in. He may have even had to let go of some of his land. And he accumulated it all, and he gave it to the boy. And the boy walked away, and he was gone for years. The older brother says, you were gone for years. That's why the older brother built up resentment, because he had to pick up the load. And then there came a day when, after several years, he decided to come home. And what saved the boy was the love of the father. The father and the mother at times can love when nobody else can love. When everybody else has given up on that person, they still love them. And it said that he was in the field and he looked down the road and he saw the sun coming. And he ran towards the sun. And he said to his servant, put a robe on him, put a ring on him. Let's kill the fatted calf and let's celebrate. Now, there's another portion in the scripture that says this. He came back alive. I didn't know he would live. He came back alive. In other words, he's alive, he's well, he hasn't been taken out by the enemy. And he rejoiced. And the older son came in and said, I'm angry. I'm offended at him. The 2 years he's been gone, I've had to do all the work. And now you celebrated and gave to him. And he says to the son, what are you upset about? You get it all now. He already had his. You get it all. And we're going to rejoice that he's alive and he's well and he's your brother and he's restored. But when I pass away, all this is yours because you obey God. If we're not careful, and I never had brothers and sisters, but I was an only child. But if we're not careful, we get upset with people we work with, or we get upset with brothers and sisters because we carry the load when they shirk their responsibility. You know what? That's not your business. And it's not your business if the parent favored them above you, because God will deal with the parent. You just keep yourself unoffended. You just give it to the Lord and simply say, I'm not walking in offense. Because, Lord, all the trespasses that I've done, you've forgiven me. And so, therefore, because you've forgiven me, I'm not going to walk in offense. I'm going to let it go, and I'm going to have the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord can be on the stage singing, but the joy of the Lord is even better when you've forgiven everybody. You're not holding any grudges in your heart towards anybody. And you've forgiven everybody, and you deal with it. Okay, let's talk about husbands and wives. Pastor Joe and I never argue, and when we do argue, it's about 2 minutes. Why? Because we have to hurry up and clean up ourselves to deal with other people. And we never go to bed with offense towards each other. We straighten it out. Because guess what? You need to have a clean conscience to deal with other people. And if that person is the person that you are one with, then you need to get right with the other side of you. And so the scripture says that we are not to go to bed angry. And of course, all of us have gone to bed, not with our mates, but angry with other people. And all we did was lose sleep. Now, I'm going to use me as an example. If I'm offended by somebody and I'm thinking all about it, you know, and it's running in my mind, about 2 a.m, the Lord says, when are you going to give this to me? And finally, I get around to it. Lord, I know I'm offended about something and I need to cast all my cares on you and let you take care of it. I plead to heaven, hallelujah, that this case goes to you and I'm going to sleep and you worry about it, not me. God wants us to do that. He wants us to learn to forgive people. So the prodigal son is a story of how a parent forgave a child that was offending them. And you know what? We have enough parents here. Somewhere along the line, your kids have offended you. And you need to get over it. And you need to let go of it, because all it'll do is cause you worry, cause you to have an ulcer, hallelujah, have an upset stomach, hallelujah, have to buy the counter out of Pepto-Bismol and Alka-Seltzer and Tums and everything else. Give it to the Lord, hallelujah, and say, I'm not going to carry it, Lord, in Jesus' name. The next thing I want to talk about is Luke 22, verse 58. It says that Judas came into the garden to betray Jesus with the Roman army, and Jesus looked up and said, Judas, thou betrayest me with a kiss? He said, you're betraying me. I trained you for 3 years. 3.5 years you walked with me. 3.5 years you caused the Spirit of God to be upon your life, and you saw the miracles and everything, and now you're betraying me with a kiss? But he forgave him. He forgave him. My question is, have you forgiven who has betrayed you? Because you won't live long enough before somebody will betray you. And when they betray you, it's the same thing. And they may give you a hug and whatever, and then behind your back talk and betray you. And you know what? Give it to Jesus. Because Jesus has already felt it. You didn't have to go to the cross and die on Calvary because the person betrayed you, but you need to let it go. And you need to just simply say to the Lord, I know this person betrayed me, but I'm giving it to you, Jesus. I understand what you went through. And so, Lord, I toss it over into heaven, hallelujah, and I just simply say, Lord, let it go. Okay, somebody go over to that person, hallelujah, and begin to pray for them. Praise the Lord, because you've been through this. And when we give the altar call, we're going to want you to be up here. See, I'm touching some stuff today. Is that okay? I'm touching some stuff. We're all ready for Easter to come. We're all ready for Passover to come. But there's some stuff we need to pass over ourselves, hallelujah, so we can be blessed of the Lord. The next thing is on Calvary, Jesus sat up on the cross and he looked across the way and he saw way far away all his disciples that trained. He trained. What did they say? Huh, you know what? Jesus, we served you, but now you're up on the cross. We don't want anybody to know that we're with you. How about Peter when he betrayed him? Peter betrayed the Lord, but the Lord forgave him. And Jesus says on the cross with the high priest down there, with the people in the community there, and only John and his mother and Mary Magdalene sitting at the foot, does he say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Maybe it would be important at this season for you to say that. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Okay, how about this one? How about they know what they're doing and they want to steal from you? Well, learn the lesson. This cost me so much money, but I don't have to do business with you again. God bless you. I remember when my dad said that. Well, it only cost you $4,000. I thought, I don't want to hear that answer. But guess what? It was great advice. It was great advice, especially when the person turned back up and said to us, oh, I want to be involved in your ministry again, and I want to work with you. I thought, I already learned that lesson. Hallelujah, forgave, and I don't want to try to learn it again. Amen. How about the man at the pool of Bethesda? The man at the pool of Bethesda was sick and couldn't get to the pool to get in, and he was sick. And Jesus walked by all the people and laid hands on the man at the pool of Bethesda and healed him. Now, what most people don't know is that was the first miracle that he did in Jerusalem, and that was the one that got him in trouble with the Pharisees. And the reason was because it was on Passover. So you can imagine on Passover day, he's been at the temple, he walks out of the temple, he walks by the pool of Bethesda, and this man's been praying 38 years, and he goes in and he lays hands on and heals him. But in the same chapter it says this, and he got up and went in the temple and found the Pharisees and says, Jesus is the one who healed me. Jesus had just said to him, "You're sick because of your sin," forgives him of his sins, heals him, and the man gets up and betrays him and causes the Pharisees for the first time to look at him to kill him. He must have thought, "You ungrateful thing. You ungrateful man." That also tells us that when the Lord heals us, the Lord sets us free, we need to go back and be thankful to the Lord. We need to be thankful for every time he's had mercy in our life, to say to him, "Lord, I thank you for being merciful to me. I thank you, Lord," hallelujah, "that you came back and financially blessed me. I thank you, Lord, that you took care of all these situations and that you heal me." Every time the Lord heals you, pick up the phone and talk to somebody and begin to tell them thank you. My last one is the story of the 10 men who had leprosy. They were walking down the road towards Jerusalem, and they saw Jesus at a distance, and they hollered, and they said to him, "Jesus, have mercy upon us and heal us." And Jesus told them, "Go and show yourself to the priest. You're healed right now." So as they began to go away, their fingers were there, their ears were there, their toes were there, because leprosy hits the extremities of the body. Their nose was there. Everything was healed. And only one turned back. Jesus mentioned it. Only one was thankful. "I healed all those people, and nobody was thankful." Don't let him say that about you. Don't let him say, "I healed you, and you told nobody." We should declare it to the top of the hills. "He gave me a promotion. He healed me." Hallelujah. "He took care of my house bills. He took care of my car bills. He gave me a car." Whatever he has done for you, make sure you give God the glory. Hallelujah. Because he's a good God. He's a good God. Now I want to look at the camera and I want to talk to them. And then I'm going to take the offering and then talk again to you. Father, as I talk about forgiveness, there are people that are home. They've quit going to church. Whether it was COVID-19 or something else, they quit going to church. And there's something about when we're in church, we rub up against each other, but we're in an atmosphere where we see each other, and so we forgive each other. If you're home and you haven't forgiven somebody, just right now, bow your heads and just simply say, "Lord, I choose to forgive that person. I choose to let it go. No longer will I carry this offense, so that I might be free," hallelujah, that at this season when we go into the resurrection and we begin to say what a good God you are, I'm free. And everybody said, amen.